invite you to hear these words that come to us from Luke's gospel. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you've been with us throughout Advent, we've been looking at and studying the heavenly and the earthly messengers found in the scriptures. And we've been looking at them because they show up hundreds of times. And it's been fun as I've worked on this series and shared it with you. I've come across some angel memes or some messenger memes on social media, and I thought I'd share a couple of these with you this morning. This one I'll put up here, it's pretty funny, I think, there. Now, let me just say, I don't believe that we have guardian angels, or at least the scriptures, the Bible doesn't indicate that we do, but you know what? If I had one, I have a feeling that would be my guardian angel. I think that would be a pretty good representation of mine. Now, I like this one as well. You know, God said, "I will send them without wings." Well, I'm pretty sure that dogs are considered angels in many cases. Not so sure about the cats, though, okay? But I do think there is something to the fact that our pets, they do some of the things that God's messengers do. You know, they give us joy. They love us unconditionally. They are there for us. They bring us hope. They do a lot of the things that, you know, angels, messengers do as well. So I can appreciate that. But we're not going to talk about dogs today. We're not going to talk about cats today. What I want us to focus on is a specific celestial angel, one of two that is actually named in the scriptures, Gabriel, that we heard a moment ago. The other one is Michael. Now, Gabriel shows up in the book of Daniel and in Luke's gospel. Michael shows up in the book of Daniel and then again in the book of Revelation. But I want us to focus on Gabriel today, and specifically the words that Gabriel shares with Mary, because I believe the words that that Gabriel speaks to her are words that God would say to us as well, or would want us to remember, or would want us to hear. So that's going to be our focus today. Now, Gabriel first shows up in Luke's gospel announcing to Elizabeth and Zachariah especially, that they're going to have a child, all right? That they're going to have a child. Now, they are up in years, as Luke tells us, okay? Even that they are old, in their old age. Now, they've always wanted to have a child, but they were never able to. Until Gabriel comes and announces to them that, yes, they're going to have a child. Now, the child, we come to know him as John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, who comes to prepare the way for the Lord. So that's when Gabriel first shows up in Luke. And then the second time is the announcement that he makes to Mary. All right, this girl from Nazareth, that's where she's from. In Hebrew, her name, though, is Miriam. We know her as Mary, is translated in English, as Mary there. Now, she's about 13 or 14 years old, because that was the age when young women were engaged. They got married. They got married early back then. They didn't live a long time, so they got married early back then. So Mary, about 13 or 14 years old, from Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was a small town about 90 miles north of Jerusalem. I got a little map here to give you a little bit of orientation there. And at that time, at Mary's time, according to archaeological digs and research, they probably had about 100 people there. Okay, it was a town of about 100, so not big at all. And excuse me, primarily, it was a town of lower income people. Okay, lower socioeconomic people. It was really the other side of the tracks. This is Nazareth. It's, in fact, later on, Nathanael, one of Jesus' disciples, has this to say about Nazareth when he says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And so obviously it's not a real well thought of town. But this is where Mary lives. This is where Mary has grown up. And so she's pretty much, you know, it gives us an idea. She's pretty much on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder of, in first century Holy Land there. But Gabriel comes to us, comes to her. And then Luke tells us what he says. It says, when the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you." So again, I want us to focus on the words that Gabriel speaks. And the first thing he says to Mary is, rejoice, right? Rejoice. The Greek word there is kairo, and it, which means rejoice. Now, when we think of rejoicing, many times we attach that to a feeling, okay? We often think of it as being of having joy or being happy, but rejoicing and happiness are not the same thing, okay? They're not the same. Happiness, again, is based on is based on feelings. Rejoice is a verb. It's not a noun. It's not an adjective. It's a verb. It's when someone commands you to do it, you do it. There, you can't conjure up feelings, all right? It's not about conjuring up feelings of being happy, all right? That's not what rejoicing is all about. It's not tied to the feelings, which means that you can rejoice even when maybe you don't feel that great about your situation or about things in general. Rejoicing is about, you know, giving thanks and celebrating and praise even when we don't feel like it. It's like when we host a funeral here. We call them a celebration of life because that's what we've come to do, is to celebrate the life of our loved one. And we do that even in the midst of the pain and the loss that we feel. Okay, because rejoicing is not feeling. We can celebrate and we can give thanks to God. We can rejoice over our loved one even though we're going to miss them and we feel the pain and the hurt of the loss. While we can still celebrate in the midst of that, we do that at every funeral. Gabriel comes to Mary and says, rejoice. Even though I guarantee you she wasn't feeling very happy at that moment, okay? I mean, how can she feel happy? I mean, she's got the, you know, she's living in Roman-occupied land, okay? She's from the lowest socioeconomic, you know, group there. So she may not be really that happy, okay? All right. But how can she rejoice then? Well, because of what Gabriel says to her next. So these are the words I want us to remember. Rejoice. And then what does Gabriel say next? The Lord is with you. All right, that's the second thing I want you to remember. The Lord is with you. All right, rejoice. The Lord is with you. This is why Mary can rejoice. Mary can rejoice because the Lord is with her. We celebrate. We give thanks. Why? Because God is with us. That's not a feeling, okay? The psalmist reminds us of this from, you know, Psalm 23. What does he say? Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. You know, it's something, as people of faith, this is something we believe. We put our trust in that God is with us. Even when we can't see him, even when we can't feel him, Gabriel reminds Mary and Gabriel reminds us that God is with us. Right? The Lord is with me. And we need to remember that. Say it to yourself, seriously. The Lord is with me. Sometimes we just need to remember that the Lord is with me. There are times when I'm, you know, I feel maybe overwhelmed or confused or alone, whatever it might be, afraid. And I just need to remember, you know what? The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Gabriel says to Mary, rejoice. The Lord is with you. Mary's response is, Mary responds, wow, that's awesome. Sure, yeah. You know, I'll rejoice. I'm so glad the Lord is with me. That's not how she responded, is it? It's not. This is what the scripture says. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I mean, seriously, I'd be confused too. Some strange person who knew things about me, okay, told me to rejoice and that I'm highly favored by, you know, I'm highly favored by God. I would be confused. I mean, you kind of get the sense that Mary's sort of sensing that she's being set up for something, right? So what does Gabriel say? Mary's confused. She doesn't understand this. So what does Gabriel say next? That's the third phrase. He says, don't be afraid. Actually, says, don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. All right, that's third thing I want you to do. So rejoice. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. Over 100 times in the scriptures in the Bible, we find this phrase, don't be afraid, or fear not, depending on your translation. But don't be afraid. And sometimes God's saying it to the Israelites. Sometimes it's Moses. Sometimes it's the prophets. Sometimes it's the psalmist. Sometimes Jesus. You know, sometimes it's the apostles who say, but they're all saying, they're reminded, don't be afraid. And why is this phrase so found so often in the scriptures? Why? Because we are people who, we get afraid, don't we? Right? Inside our brain, there's this mechanism that's aimed at protecting, you know, to protect us. And so we either fight or we flee, right? He had that feeling there. And, you know, it makes us afraid, and we choose whether we're going to flee or we're going to fight. And sometimes, you know, as Gabriel encourages me, don't be afraid. Sometimes we have to overcome that inner impulse, that fear, in order to do what God's calling us to do, or to live as God is calling us to live. Rather than simply living in fear and allowing that to consume us, what does God say? Don't be afraid. Don't let the fear control your life. All right? Don't let it overwhelm you. I have something better for you. Don't be afraid. So Gabriel says to Mary, don't be afraid. Rejoice. The Lord is with you. And when you put all those, look at those three phrases, rejoice, the Lord's with you, hey, don't be afraid, it does look like Gabriel's really setting Mary up for something, right? And the truth is, he is, all right? Hey, rejoice, the Lord's with you, hey, and don't be afraid, and by the way, you're going to have a baby. Yeah, I know you're not married. You're not married yet. I know you haven't been with a man, but you're going to have a baby, just so you know, all right? This is what it says in Luke. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his David father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom. All right. What's Gabriel? Gabriel's explaining. This is what's happening. All right? This is who you're going to give birth to. This is your mission, in other words, Mary. All right? Yeah. This, again, a 13 or 14-year-old. This is the annunciation. You know, this is coming to her. This is what Gabriel is telling her. It can definitely be overwhelming and terrifying. I mean, think about it. I mean, you're 34 and you're what? I can understand being terrified, and not just because of what Gabriel's saying, but because of the implications of that. Because if you know the Torah, the law, said that, hey, if you were engaged to be married and you got pregnant by another man before you got married, you could be put to death. And so she most likely knows this. So it's the implications of that, not just to, you know, to maybe her reputation or anything, but even her very life. You know, it's risking everything there. So no wonder she's terrified. But it's bigger than that, okay? It's bigger than that. I mean, what does Gabriel say? This is going to be the Son of the Most High. You're going to name Jesus. He's going to be the Messiah. Yeah. Mary's Jewish. She knows the prophecy. She's heard it. They have been longing for a Messiah for hundreds of years. All right? They believed that there would be another king like David who would come and rule over the land on the behalf of God. All right? So they were waiting for this. They were hoping for this. And Mary, I'm sure Mary was aware of this. I mean, she had heard the prophecy. She probably was longing for that Messiah to come just as much as anyone else. But she never imagined, okay, that she'd have anything to do with that. I mean, it is. It's unimaginable, inconceivable, it's terrifying. And she doesn't understand. I mean, she doesn't understand this. She doesn't understand that, you know, that the child she's going to give birth to, you know, is going to die at the age of 33. In order to save and to redeem humankind, to demonstrate that God's love for humanity knows no bounds. She doesn't understand that he's going to be raised from the dead so that death and sin and hate don't have the final word. She doesn't understand any of that. She just knows that this strange person is telling her that she's going to have a baby that's not hers, that is somehow the Son of God, the Messiah that everybody's been waiting for, including her. And she's the one who's going to carry that baby to term. She's going to want to nurture and to give birth and to raise this child. She gets to. She has to. And she's required to. And so in response, what does she do? She simply asks a question. How can this be since I'm a virgin? And again, what does Gabriel do? Gabriel explains it to her. It's kind of like, you know, hey, let me tell you again. This is who this is. Okay? And so he says, the Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Hey, and if you got any doubts, just remember, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God, Gabriel tells Mary. And that's the fourth phrase I want you to remember. Rejoice. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. Nothing is impossible with God. Say that. Say that out loud. Seriously. Wherever you are, say it with me. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, I think that's the same line that an angel delivered to Sarah and Abraham 1,800 years earlier. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they were like 190 and 100 years old. They didn't have children, but God said, you're going to have children. And so finally an angel comes, and maybe it was Gabriel. We don't know, but I kind of like to think that was Gabriel, was one of the strangers that visited him and announced to them that, hey, you're going to have this kid. You're going to have a baby. And Sarah hears it, and she's like, I'm dying. That ain't happening. And it's like, yeah, it is, because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, we say that. The question is really, do we believe that? Do we trust that? Do we dare to dream? Because I think most of the time, you know, God gives us a dream or God encourages us to do something and we're like, no, I'm not going to trust that. I don't really believe. That's not possible. There's no way that could happen. You know, I can't be a part. I don't think I could ever be a part of that. But see, here's the thing. When God calls us, God provides a way for us to accomplish that call, I believe. I love the old King James Version from Ephesians. It translates Ephesians 3:20 as, God is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we could ask or imagine. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine. Problem is, we're unwilling. We're unwilling to imagine. We're unwilling to dream. Maybe God's dreams. And yet, you know, here's the thing. I think about the people who came together here in this part of Charlotte back in 1968, right? Who dreamed of a church on this side of Charlotte. Some of those are still with us. Our charter members are still with us. But they came together and they dreamed of something. And it was a God-sized dream. And we're here because of that. You know, I think about the very first habitat we built. And that was a dream. And now we're building, because of our Christmas Eve offering this year, we're going to be able to build our 25th house this year. You know, I think about the ministry of Dahlia Grove. If you don't know what it is, look it up online. Dahlia Grove is a ministry to women who've been abused sexually, domestically, however, who bad darkness, dark situations. Great ministry. But you know what? It began with the vision and the dream of one individual. And now look at how it's making a difference in the lives of others. Yeah, there are all kinds of people who are willing to tell you that, you know, it's not possible. And yet God says, Gabriel proclaims, nothing is impossible with God. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or imagine. Just got to be listening, looking for those opportunities. Right. And being willing to say yes to that. Now, and these don't have to be huge, big dreams. You can be starting a ministry, okay? You don't have to go build a habitat house. A lot of these are just small things that you can do over and over and over again. Just starts with being willing to say yes. To say with Mary, here I am, the servant of the Lord. And that's Mary's response to Gabriel's announcement. After all of this, that's what Mary says. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Now, Mary could have said, no, mm-mm, I'm not interested. I'm not signing up for this. Nope, not me. I'm not doing it. But what did she say? Say it with me. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. This is Mary's prayer, okay? Mary's prayer is not the rosary, the Hail Mary, okay? All right, that's what the angel and Elizabeth said to Mary. This is Mary's prayer. Right? Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. I mean, think about it. If we really trusted this, and then that was our prayer, the adventure our life might become. Right? If we just say, God, here I am. Use me however you want me to use me. Yeah, whatever it is, God, here I am. I mean, how amazing would that be? How amazing might it be when you said yes? If you ever doubt it, just ask Tricia Seaman. Take a look.
Here's Steve Hartman on the road.
Tricia Summers claims to have seen an angel. It happened not long after she was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer and admitted to Pinnacle Health Hospital in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. She was recovering from a procedure here when in walked this nurse.
Before she even said anything, I just felt comfort. It was almost like somebody just put like a warm blanket on me.
That's quite a nurse.
Yes, I've never felt anything like that before or any other connection with anybody else.
This is that angel.
I really enjoy the job. I like it a lot.
Aww.
Her name is Tricia, too. Tricia Seaman. She has worked as a nurse here for 14 years. And although she's been praised by many, no patient has ever given her a greater compliment than Tricia Summers did.
Okay.
That happened on a subsequent trip to the hospital, on the day the single mom with an 8-year-old son named Wesley found out she might not see his 9th birthday. Her cancer is terminal.
You know, what do you say to somebody? She's 45 years old. So I just gave her a hug, and she said, well, I'm really glad you stopped in because I didn't think that I would get to see you again, and I have something that I need to ask you.
I just asked her. I blurted it out.
What did you say?
I said, can you take my son? Will you raise him if I die?
And she was completely serious.
You didn't know her that well.
Mm-mm. She was a stranger.
It was just a gut feeling.
Tricia's ex-husband, Wesley's dad, is pretty much out of the picture, and she says she had no other family to turn to, which is why she asked her nurse, who, after consulting with her family, agreed.
Not only to take in Wesley.
Hi.
But his mom, too.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Since May, they've been living with the Seamans. Tricia, her husband Dan, and their 4 children.
We love her.
It's like another mom.
It's like another mom.
And I think he loves us as much as we love him.
Without the generosity of this family, Tricia Summers would have had to spend her final days in a nursing home. And who knows what would have happened to her son.
They needed to be together.
That's more than she asked you for, though.
It is. But that's what we're supposed to do. More than we're asked.
Are you talking as a nurse or as just a person?
Both. Both.
An angel would know.
Yeah.
Steve Hartman, on the road, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
I love that story. Interesting enough, the Seaman family had been contemplating adopting a child before Tricia Summers' request ever came. In fact, they had been approved to be foster parents. Interesting. So, you know, they opened their home. They took in Tricia and her son, Wesley. And postscript to the story is that it was just, I think, about 6 months later after moving in that Tricia passed away there. But Wesley remained. They actually formally adopted Wesley a few years later. And I was reading up on the story. And it here and he said, you know, Wesley is doing well. And this is what he said in the interview. He said, you know, I can't even begin to describe how lucky and blessed I am. Why? Because someone said yes to really a God-sized dream. You know, we began this series by looking at messengers, the angels, as described in the scriptures. And if you recall, I told you that every time that word appears in the scriptures, it's either angelos in the Greek or malach in the Hebrew. And then those words were used to describe not only heavenly angels and messengers, but earthly ones as well. Now, and I believe they are both. I believe that there are heavenly creatures that God created, that God made, messengers, angels like Gabriel, Michael, and all the others who do the work of God. But I also believe that God sends people just like you and me to be his messengers, to be his angels, to bring hope and light and life. The only question is, are we willing? Are we willing to be one of those messengers? To be an angel in whatever form, in whatever way God presents it to us, the opportunities presented to us. So again, the question comes down to, will you say with Mary the prayer that she prayed? Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Are we willing to be one of God's earthly messengers, earthly angels? My hope and my prayer is that we'll say yes, just like Mary did. Let us pray. Gracious God, hear our prayers. May we indeed offer ourselves to you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord. Help us to rejoice always, no matter what the circumstances. Guide us to remember that you are always, remind us that you are always with us, Lord, and help us not to be afraid. And may we never forget that nothing is impossible with you. So Lord, let us take you up on those opportunities that you present to us to be one of your earthly messengers, your earthly angels. For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.